Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And back we are here at Substation 2 for an extended version of our Straight Talk program for this Friday, August the 28th. You heard from Chad Williams. He's one of the two Democratic candidates up for your consideration on Tuesday, September the 1st. What a day to have an election. Tuesday, September the 1st. Monika White is the other one, and she is here with us today for this portion of our Straight Talk program. Hello, Monika. How are you doing?
Great, and thank you for having me this afternoon.
Well, we're glad you're here. So we don't know a lot about Monika White, so you got to start off by telling us the background of Monika White. So go right ahead.
Yes, and so I am Monika White, one of the candidates for South Carolina State Senate District 15. I am standing on the shoulders of two parents who led a march here in the early 70s, in addition to a bonus parent who has fought tirelessly for our country in the United States Army. And so I was originally born here in York County and moved to Charlotte when I was approximately 2 to 3 months old. Lived in Charlotte pretty much all my life until I came back here in December of 2020.
You stayed that long away?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
yes.
My goodness gracious.
But I know a lot about the counties. I actually work for Mecklenburg County Child Support in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, you're back, mm-hmm. but you really never have left because you're so close by.
Exactly.
Right.
That's right.
And what prompted you to get involved with this?
Well, for one, I am the York County Democratic Party secretary currently, and wanted to, you know, I've just been out there going to the different events, listening to the news and seeing what has happened. My family fell victim to a home invasion back in December of 2019. Mm-hmm. So from a crime standpoint, I know that we have some work to do because I've seen the uptick in crime since I've been here in December of 2020. And I also told you at the beginning that I work for Mecklenburg County Child Support, which is for the government. And I also know that there are some changes that need to be handled as far as the government is concerned. In addition to that, I volunteer a lot in the community. I volunteer with the Bethel Men's Shelter. I volunteer with the Manor House Pantry. Yes.
Good. For you.
I love it. I love it because it gives me an opportunity to see the people that are struggling in York County, just as I see them in Mecklenburg County. So that I know that there are some affordability issues, and that's one of the top issues on my platform.
Well, good. We just spent a half an hour talking about that. Let's talk some more about it. Yeah, I mean, really, the affordability thing is nationwide.
It is.
It's just gone crazy. I mean, if you had told me a few years ago that an entry-level house in Rock Hill, South Carolina would be $350,000?
Yes.
I'd have told you you're nuts.
Yeah.
And it's just getting worse.
That is correct.
So, what can you add to the discussion about affordability that you think you can see some progress if you are elected to the state senate?
Well, I think one thing we need to do is listen to the people. We need to do the research, the adequate research, because I think sometimes we're not doing enough research. We're looking at it, you know, from a standpoint where we're not the person who's struggling, right? And so when you actually get out there in the community and you're working with those persons who are struggling every day and you see this on a daily basis, it makes things a little bit more astringent for you, right? And so when we're looking at the affordable housing, we see all these houses going up. Yes, I've seen some houses recently off Heckle Boulevard. Nice development, nice apartments. But look at the prices. Let's be real. Let's be clear. It's the same thing that I tell the judges in Mecklenburg County. Hey, we need to look at the worksheet for child support because I don't think it's factoring in everything that's out here. Is it factoring in the increase in gas? Is it factoring in the increase in groceries, clothing, and what have you? Child care. You know that there's been a recent issue with child care. There are mothers out here talking about quitting their jobs because they don't have adequate child care anymore because of the new bill that was just passed passed recently, where they stopped, you know, they paused the applications and so forth. And I talked to some of the women that are child care providers in York at the Summerfest just the other day. This is an issue. It is a major issue. So it's almost about to be a crisis, because what's going to happen is these parents are going to eventually have to quit work because they don't have adequate child care any longer. When they quit work, what happens? They're back in the circle trying to get more benefits, whereas initially they were at least trying, you know, to make something of themselves. But here we are, we're stopping child care. You know, we have a lot of child care providers out of work now, or not, they're trying to do other things to keep up, you know.
So take 30 seconds and tell me about this piece of legislation. What I don't know anything about this.
Oh,
the child care thing. What is it?
Okay, and so basically, they paused the applications in December of 2025.
Who paused the applications?
The government.
Hold
on for just a moment.
State government, federal government. What?
It is likely to be federal. And hold on for just a moment, so I can make sure I give you the right information.
She's got it right here in front of her. I can tell
you
that.
Yes, I do.
Well, I didn't mean to interrupt the whole thing, but
no, you're okay. You're all right. That's a very near and dear thing to me. Number one, I have a son that's in the Air Force,
right?
So I never really had to deal with childcare because I had parents that helped out with my son.
Sure,
I had money, you know, to put him in after school. But everyone doesn't have that,
no
right?
Kidding.
So we have to look at that, because now are we just going to have an issue where we have parents out of work? What are we going to do when they need more stamps, when they need more this and more that, you know, because they can't make ends meet?
Mm. So we got a new federal regulation. It comes out.
Yes.
It basically says what? You have to apply to be a child care provider?
No, they actually paused the applications, so they're not even able to do the child care, put their children in child care.
Huh.
That's the issue, yes.
Okay. All right.
And then for those that were in child care, there have been some changes too, I think, through Medicaid, that have caused some of the children not to be able to stay in the existing or stay with the existing child care provider.
All right, so a lot of this affordability gets back to the issue of getting people to work, jobs.
Yes.
Jobs pay a wage that allows you to live, bottom line.
Uh-huh.
And we're seeing wages go up, but they're not going up fast enough to keep up with everything else.
They're not.
I mean, cost of gasoline, cost of insurance, cost of housing. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So let's get back to what we were talking about earlier, which is housing.
Yes.
Now, you know, there's a massive study that's just been done, accumulating all kinds of data from the four counties. And that's been given back to the counties, and they're now starting to digest it. I got that. But as I said earlier in the show, it's not going to affect the cost of construction materials. It's not going to affect the cost of construction labor. So what's going to give, who's going to give, in order to create a platform whereby we can have workforce housing that people can afford? Something that's less than $2,000 a month that they're paying to rent an apartment. I mean, somebody's got to step forward, whether it's the state of South Carolina, whether it's York County, whether it's the city of Rock Hill, whether it's all three together, saying, you know what, this is now a priority in our budget, and we're going to put some teeth into this.
And so one of those things, I think maybe because I purchased my house during COVID here, and so I think I got a really good deal because I have a lot of land around my house. So maybe we can look at, one of the things is bringing people to the table. That's one, to see what it is their need, you know, what are they needing? Why is it that they can't afford this? You know,
right.
The other thing is looking at builder incentives. So not whereas builders are paying the closing cost. OK, that's a good incentive. But what can we do for the builders, too, so that things are not as expensive? Because when you look at some of these houses, they're not worth the money. Let's just be real. Even the house that I'm in right now, it's not worth what I really paid for when I think about it. And so what we have to do is we have to get down to the basics. Let's go back to the drawing board. So the Legislative Building Committee, let's look at them and say, hey, what can we do? How can we work with the builders to see what it is that we can do to make things more affordable as far as housing?
Well,
because
I think
even though... Go ahead.
No.
Okay, you sure?
Yeah, possibly.
Even though the materials have gone up, I think sometimes people are getting over. Let's just be clear. And that's what we need to stop. We can't do that any longer because people are on the streets. These children are on the streets. Adults are on the streets. And is it right? Is it fair? It's not. And so some of us are living in our posh houses and we're kind of forgetting about those who don't have it so good. And so we have to think about those things as well. So what does it mean for the York County residents? You know, what can we do as a whole? Not increase our taxes to make up for any incentives, because that's not the way we do things either. But we're going to have to start taking a look at the real piece of the pie, right? Because, again, we have some people who are living very nicely in their cushiony houses, where some of us don't have that ability.
Well, now, let's get a distinction here.
Okay.
You know, people who have been successful and have been able to create a better life for themselves shouldn't be criticized for doing that.
I'm not criticizing
them. I just want to make sure, because
I'm just saying that we have to figure out a way where we can all come together and live.
We've got to bring everybody to the table.
Right. That's
right?
It. Yeah.
And everybody needs to take an interest in this.
That is correct.
To me, it gets down to basic business.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people who are being impacted by this the most are the backbone of the community. They're the firemen. They're the policemen. They're the guys that work for the city. They work for the county. The list goes on and on and on. People work here at Substation too, right? They're the ones that we have to figure out a model that'll work. But to do that is going to require some changes.
That's correct.
One of the big things is these regulations that we have for what is an acceptable type of a house. You know, I don't know what it is. I don't have those in front of me, but the model has to change. Not everybody can afford to live in a 2,000 square foot house.
That's true.
Right?
I totally
And not
agree.
Everybody wants a 2,000 square foot house.
I agree.
So how can we do it? I mean,
One of the things that we can talk about too is the wages that the people are being paid. And I always say this, in South Carolina and North Carolina, I notice that we're kind of like at the bottom of the totem pole as far as wages that are paid. So people are not being paid for what they do. We look at our police department, you know, and look at their salaries for what they actually do for our community. Are they paid adequately?
That's I don't think anybody would argue with that.
Right.
And they wouldn't argue with teachers, what teachers are getting paid.
That too, as well as government workers. They
but
are
that's
not
a nationwide
paid
problem.
Enough.
It's
well,
a, it's everywhere.
Well, you have to think about the minimum wages too in the different states, right? And so you see a lot of states are stepping up to the plate and they're increasing their minimum wages. And once you increase the minimum wage, you're going to also have to go back and run an analysis on the existing employees to make some changes on their salary and wages as well.
And you got to do this all within the confines of a thing called a budget.
Yes.
Right? The budget's got to work.
I understand, yes.
Because as you said, you don't want to increase people's taxes.
That's right.
So you're going to have to figure out how are we going to reallocate dollars
exactly.
to do what we want to do, which is try to get everybody at a point where they can afford to live in somewhere besides an apartment.
True.
Okay.
That's right.
You know what we have to do right now? Monika, you've done a great job. We're going to have to take our mid-program break and tell everybody why they need to be listening and about this program. And remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Comporium, making life easier. That's why we're here. Our thanks again to Piedmont Medical Network, a community built on care. Find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalNetwork.com. Here at Substation 2, fresh subs and salads 6 days a week. How we do it at the count of three. Everybody ready? One, two, three.
Slice. Garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
SC Department of Corrections is hiring correctional officers statewide. Must be at least 18 years old with a high school diploma or GED. Discover a rewarding career with great benefits at joinscdc.com. Sponsored by SC Department of Corrections, SCBA, and this station.
Hi, this is John Mitchell with JM Arbor Care. Before hurricane season gets active, it's a good idea to have your trees checked. Not because we want to scare you, but because a little information now can help prevent a bigger problem later. That's why we offer our no-pressure tree check promise. We'll look at your trees, explain what we see, answer your questions, and give honest recommendations. No scare tactics, no pushy sales talk, no obligation. Just professional guidance from JM Arbor Care. Call us today at 803-984-9318.
Here's Edwin Ellis at Nichols Store with some tips for hunters prepping for the season.
Get all your gear cleaned up. Make sure you've got the right chokes, the right shells for dove season. It's a great time to come in, get your scopes bore sighted.
Nichols Store, the outdoorsman's paradise. I-77, exit 73, Rock Hill.
Here you come again.
Dolly Parton, one of the most iconic and beloved artists in American music history, passed away Tuesday. This Sunday, we're celebrating her legendary career on Interstate 107.
Jolene, Jolene.
I'm Alan Mitch Miller. Join us Sunday starting at 4 p.m. and then again at 7 p.m. on Interstate 107 and your WRHI app.
Life is so busy, and so are we as a people. But do we make time to talk about real matters? Common sense matters. Lord knows we don't need another disagreement or debate or another program that argues. But rather, an enlightening conversation would be refreshing. That's why we've created a new show called Real Talk. I'm John Warden. My hope is to help give a platform for people to talk about normal, everyday things. Real people, real talk. Tune in to Real Talk, Saturday mornings, 8 a.m. here on WRHI 100.1.
Manning Kimmel.
Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
Station 2, Jared Rode across from with her as we continue with our special edition of Straight Talk, trying to get the information out about the two candidates who are running for the September 1st Democratic primary for State Senate District number 15. The winner of that race will take on the Republican nominee, who will be James Burns. Okay, so Monika White is with us right now. And we have just spent a whole bunch of time talking about affordability. We could go on with this for hours. Go ahead. You got something there?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I do have some ideas about some things that we may be able to do to help out with affordable housing. One is to increase the South Carolina's Housing Trust Fund. And the state already has a housing trust fund that can finance affordable rental housing, home ownership opportunities, rehabilitation, and housing for seniors and people with special needs.
Right.
State law specifically directs these resources towards increasing the supply of affordable housing.
So why don't we do this? Why don't we do this?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we have a your county trust fund that everybody kicks into that creates a pool of money from the county, the city, some money from the state, whatever, whoever else wants to kick into this thing to try to get something going. I just thought, just throw it out there.
Okay, and everyone like who?
Anybody wants to contribute.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
Go ahead.
And another item would be to create incentives to build workforce housing, which is similar to what I was saying. So instead of simply approving more high-end apartments, the state can encourage developers to reserve a percentage of units for households earning moderate incomes. For example, legislation already introduced in South Carolina would require 15% of certain publicly subsidized economic development land to be designated for affordable housing.
Okay.
And then the economic development to housing development. When South Carolina provides major incentives to bring hundreds of thousands of jobs into an area, housing should be part of that conversation. If we recruit the jobs, but workers cannot afford to live nearby, we create longer commutes, traffic congestion, childcare problems, and greater household expenses.
You know, where my brother lives in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, They've had a rule on the books for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
That if you're going to build a new business, you have to show us your plan for workforce housing. Uh-huh.
That's it. Yeah. And maybe we need to think about that here.
Because those people out there are commuting 50, 60 miles to come to work. That's crazy. All right.
I completely
understand. Let's move on from affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
What else is on your to-do list if you are successful in getting this nomination and then, of course, going to be successful again in November. What else do you want to put on your list?
And so one is equal rights for everyone, and the specialty with the women. And I think you all know a lot about the abortion ban. That one is near and dear to my heart as well. I have had 6 miscarriages. When I was between the ages of 9 and 10, I was sexually abused. And I do think that there needs to be some humble exceptions to the abortion ban. I don't agree with the abortion ban, right? Yeah. Because I have the 6 miscarriages. So I feel like people need to use preventative methods to make sure they're not getting pregnant. But then let's talk about the ones that are raped. And so I met a lady in York the other day, and she said that even though the lady is raped, she should be made to carry the child. I do not agree with that.
Okay.
Right. Number one, for me, when I was sexually abused between the age of 9 and 10, it took me years to get past that. If you can imagine a person being raped, their mental state, and then you wanting them to carry the child that belongs to that rapist, No.
Okay.
We have to make some exceptions. And so just equal rights for everyone. We're not out here telling men what they can't do. So we shouldn't be doing that for women either, especially when it's those type of terms. Now, can we be a little bit more stringent in making more proactive measurements so that we just stop having babies after babies when we know we can't afford them? Yes, we can look at something like that. But you can't. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, I'm with you.
Okay.
And again, this is another issue. We could take 3 hours this afternoon and go back and forth.
And then the violent crime reduction.
Okay.
That's the safe community. That is it for me. Being that I used to be a person who always thought that persons who commit robberies and home invasions, it'll be okay. They should be able to get out in due time because, they deserve a second chance. Until my family fell victim to a home invasion where they shot our dog, placed a gun in my stepson's face at the time, and also me, when I was entering my house. These persons have been arrested, and a lot of them have been sentenced to life. And they were, it was a full organized crime ring, right? And so now my stance has changed on that because you go through a mental crisis once you deal with some types of violent crimes, right?
Sure.
And so I think that the sentencing needs to weigh strongly on the actual mental health issues that those persons experience in life.
So beyond just throwing the keys away and keeping those people in jail, you think something else should be done?
Well, I think that there needs to be some changes in the laws where we let you know up front, this is not going to happen again.
Yeah.
When you do it the first time, you're not going to get out on bond. You're going to stay there,
right.
Regardless of your previous criminal record. You have to, we need to bring some parties to the round table and see, and just talk about it and see what it is we can do. But then also, I talk about mental health. Healthcare is another thing on my platform. And so when we talk about mental health, because I think a lot of times there are people, that have the insurance and they can go to the doctor and they're free, to kind of do what they need to do. But take a look at our homeless community.
Oh, yeah.
Point in case. You said you work, with them often.
Sure.
So you completely understand. Just look at the people at Pathways, and my heart goes out to them. But we want to make sure that mental health resources are available to everyone within the community.
It's the number one issue.
It is.
Number one issue, no question. All right. We only have a couple minutes left in the show.
Okay. Yes.
Now, this is an election that nobody seems to know about because it's following a very robust gubernatorial race, then followed by the death of Senator Lindsey Graham.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 elections to get the nominee there.
Yes.
I mean, it's just amazing. So here you are, squeezed in between this, and nobody's really paying a whole lot of attention
right.
to an election that's following them all day, September the 1st. My God. So what are you doing besides this wonderful show that you're on right now? What are you doing to get the word out?
So I am talking to the different churches. I have people that are volunteering for me, some people from Charlotte and some people here from Rock Hill. We're sending out text messages. We're handing out flyers. One evening when I got off work from Mecklenburg County in Charlotte, I drove to Rock Hill and made my way to the Ross. and the TJ Maxx out there, and I handed out flyers and stopped people and introduced them to tell them who I was.
So you're commuting back and forth every day?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Monday through Friday.
Woo!
Yes.
Aren't you tired of that clickety-clack?
I am not.
You're not?
No.
You enjoy that?
I get tired sometimes, but I'm still young, you know, and my salary... I like my salary there, so I'm going to stay there.
All right, we're going to wrap up this portion of our Straight Talk program to tell you thanks for being here. Thanks for being a candidate.
Thank you.
For offering yourself, and we'll see what happens on Tuesday. Okay?
Yes, thank you
Her
so
name
much.
Is Monika White, and she would like to have your vote, as would Chad Williams. And September the 1st is the day for you to go out and do something about it, unless you want to early vote. Today is the last day to do that. All right.
Yes, and just keep in mind that the polls are open Tuesday, September 1st from 7 a.m. to 7 o'clock p.m.
That's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Jerry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relaxing with Founders, and by Comporium, making life easier, and that's why we're here. One more time, at the count of three, everybody, 1, 2, 3.
Slice, garden.
Have a wonderful weekend. High school football tonight on the OTS Sports Network beginning at 6 o'clock. See you on the radio. Bye.